Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Today I'm going to be speaking on the subject of change and the good side of change, and we need to welcome change. And I felt God has dropped something in my heart for us all today. Those of you that are finding, fear in looking to a better future in your own personal life, maybe what you're going through and going, I'm really not sure if I've got confidence about my future. And overall, today God wants to put a seed in us of trusting God at a much higher level than we ever have. As I look back over my life, all the promises of God are coming to pass in my life, but not the way I thought. You know, I've shared here before, the will of God is not A, B, C, D. It's A, Z, K, L, all over the place, and then you end up at the right place. You know, I used to have a Volkswagen Passat, and it was one of those earlier models where they first had you can park itself, and I never had the courage to fully let go of the steering wheel. I'd put it into parking itself and it would sort of go, and it looked like it was going to hit the car in front of me. And so I'd grab the steering wheel again because I didn't want to hit the car. But my brother-in-law, who wasn't emotionally involved, used to love playing with my Passat car and doing the automatic in and out. And I'm going, it's going to hit the car, it's going to hit the... Never did. It was perfect. And sometimes with God, we trust Him, but we think something's not going to go right. And so we grab the steering wheel and go, I need to take control of this. I trust God, but not that much. And this morning, I pray that God will really encourage you on the message I want to share. Change is good for us. But, you know, as I get older, things are beginning to click. My neck clicks, my back clicks, my bones click, everything clicks. I went to the doctor the other day. He said, I'd like to talk to you about your weight. I said, well, I've been sitting here for 35 minutes, but at least the chairs are comfortable. I was at a restaurant and the waiter asked me, would you like to order dessert? I said, what are my options? He said, yes or no. There you go. I wasn't sure whether you were going to enjoy them or not, but just for old time's sake, you know. Can't come to life and not tell a dad joke. And so I'm going to open today. We're going to go through the book of Luke in chapter 5. Not the whole book. Luke chapter 5. And we're going to park in chapter 5 because I'm at an age now where I can look back and go, gee, God did say that and it did happen and it did help me. You know, when you start off in ministry, you preach principles because you're believing for the future. But as you get older, you find out there were patterns that really, really worked. And I spend my time in this stage of my life passing on those patterns because I have faith in the God that gave them. And so I'm going to read a verse at the end of Luke chapter 5, verse 37. And it says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins, but no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new. The old is just fine, they say. I don't know about you, but I do struggle with change. I'm not a change agent. As per my personality, I'm not even a visionary. People think I'm this visionary guy because of stuff that's happened over the years. But if you ask me where you're going, I'll probably say lunch. I mean, you know, I'm Italian. We had a cousin's day yesterday with all our cousins. You wouldn't even know what this is, maybe. But we made these Italian buns thing called zeppole. See, some of you know what they are. 15 or, Sharon, what were you saying? 12 kilos of flour they went through with all our cousins getting together with their kids. And while we were sitting there, they were all talking about what are we having for dinner. That's what Italians do. You know, while they're having lunch, they're talking about what are we going to have for dinner. So I'm not a visionary that thinks, where's my long-term future? But I'm going to teach you something today that has been so good for me and I think good for us because, let me prophesy over this house, but over the kingdom right now, we are entering a completely new era. This is not a new season. It's a completely new era for the church. Jesus Christ is clarifying his church all over the world right now. I want to encourage you, and Dan and Morgan were part of this the other day. We met with pastors across the city, and there's a new hunger to drop our labels and build the kingdom. There's a new desire of coming together as the church of Christ in a city to see transforming power change a broken city and a broken nation. And so to do that, we've got to be open to change. I want to say this, the change of leadership in this church is not a coincidence. It is a God incidence, and God's going to take Pastor Tony and Kath to incredible places in him, because when change comes, it's not one wins and the other loses. But when change comes and God brings it, we all go to a new level, the next in God. When I handed over our church 9 years ago, there were dreams in my heart that weren't fully completed, but I obeyed to hand it over. I was 57 years of age, and in my head, I'm going, but this is too early, and, you know, I shouldn't be doing this right now, but I obeyed what I genuinely believed was the right thing to do, because my passion was to pass on to the next generation so generations could continue the call of God, and I came here for a while. I was here 3 years. Some challenges happened in the church that I handed over, and that's why I had to go back. But right now, at 68, some of those dreams God put in my heart are just coming to pass now. I wouldn't have chosen this time, but God did. I remember where I was in 1989, somewhere around there, when I was still at Paradise Youth, and God saying, you're going to go to the nation of Singapore and have an incredible impact there, and then the UK. And I did go to those places, and we saw some amazing things, and then it all died. And I go, what happened there? What's going on? I don't think the work is finished. And as a result of what's happened in the last few weeks, God has opened the door to Singapore, back in the UK, and two churches in Rome. So even as an Italian, I'm going to go back and visit the rallies. But I would have never planned it the way it's been planned. Please, please, I beg you today, trust God. Trust God. But God wants to do something new. And whenever God does something new, we've got to honour the origins, understand our present, and prepare for the future. We honour and respect, and I know you do, the origins of this house. We honour how it was birthed. It was birthed by God through obedience by man. And now we are in a present stage in history where God is releasing the apostolic anointing like never before across the body of Christ, where you don't just have one pastor, you know, running a church and everybody does what he says, but God is building apostolic teams. He's building prophetic voices that come together for high accountability so that we can build something awesome in our world. But if you're like me, you struggle with change. I was going to call my message, how many cats are tied to your bedpost? Many, many years ago, some anthropologists went to South America to study the behavior of certain tribes. And they found a tribe in South America where they used to tie their cats to their bedposts when they went to their temple to worship. So the anthropologists said to the people doing this, why do you do it? He goes, I don't know, we've been doing it for 50 years. But why do you do it? We don't know, it's just our tradition. So they went and did further research and found that 50 years earlier, this particular tribe used to sacrifice fish to their gods, and the cats from the town would run into the temple and eat the fish. 50 years later, they stopped sacrificing fish, but they were still tying their cats to the bedpost. And sometimes, even in church world, well, why do we do what we do? Because that's what we've always done. But I'm telling you, there's a new wineskin. There's something fresh about to happen. And we're not just going to keep doing what we've always done. We honour what we've done. We're not going to something new. We're going to the next. We're going to the next of what God is doing. And so here in Luke chapter 5, I learnt some lessons early on in my ministry about how to handle change. Luke 5 verse 1, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, just remember that, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others that were with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed him. What an incredible story. And there's so much in this chapter that's helped my life. I want to share four things about change with you out of this passage of scripture that have been very helpful to me. Number one, the pattern of change. Let me say this morning, God, ideas are different than good ideas. So many churches do a bit of karaoke church by saying, if we do those songs because that famous church does them, or if we do this just like they do it, then we will grow and we will be successful. God has got too much creativity to go around to be put in that box. And I want to say today, there's a new era coming where we're going to see church done in all different shapes and sizes, in all different ways. We're going to see different community impacts. We're going to see different approaches to discipleship. But the great commandment and the great commission will take place if we wait for Jesus to finish speaking. And I can honestly say to you, when I started Edge Church, I had no idea. I was scared spitless. I had no idea what I was doing. Bible college didn't teach me the stuff that I had to encounter on the ground. The first week I went into ministry as a youth pastor, a lady comes into the office, says, I need to see the youth pastor. It's my first week. She walks into my office. She goes, you need to come and visit my son right now. I said, he's threatened to take his life and you need to come right now. And I said, I've got an appointment in 2 or 3 minutes with somebody else, but I'll come later. If my son dies, it'll be your fault. What a great way to be introduced to the ministry. Don't get taught that in Bible school. And all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm in too deep here. I got no idea. I haven't been trained for this. But the good news is when the word of God becomes more than a suggestion and more than a devotion, but it becomes a direction in our lives, he will never let us down and he will initiate change that can change our world through waiting for him to finish speaking. A fisherman that knew everything about the water, knew everything about fishing, knew everything about the winds and all the things to do with fishing, and yet Jesus tells him to do something he thought he knew everything about. But after Jesus finished speaking, he launched into the deep. Can I encourage you today that in any direction in your life, you're not actually meant to chase the direction? Let Jesus chase you and live in daily obedience. When we live in daily obedience, I remember when Pastor Tony asked me to come here, and I'm going, oh, I don't know everybody there. I don't know if this, you know, and I'm trying to process it in my head. And then I knew after Jesus finished speaking to me that I needed to do it. And I'm so grateful for the 3 years we've had together, and we will continue to be in kingdom friendship. And so that's so grateful. But you've got to wait for Jesus to finish speaking. So I start the church. I don't know what I'm doing. And three words came into my head. Divine change, divine culture, and divine connection. And I felt the Holy Spirit bring into my mind the thought that when I finish speaking, you start a journey of divine change. Out of me speaking, I'll give you a divine culture. And that culture can only be lived out by divine connections. And so God brings the people together to build the right culture because he has spoken about the divine change. And I remember sitting with our people going, I don't know how you feel about this, but I want you to go and pray, come back. And God began to confirm and confirm and confirm in the buying of buildings. I mean, how do you, and well, I'm just going to stop here right now. We've got to believe. We've got to believe in this house for God to bring breakthrough regarding property, because it's never going to happen with our smarts. How do I drive down South Road, look at the old Ranella markets, and God says, that's yours? And you know, we interpret what God says. I interpreted that was for rent because we didn't have any money to buy. And I remember a couple of years later, we were in that building renting it, and we're looking for another building to buy. And I'm not saying that relates to this here. It's just my story, you know. And the eldership were going, we're going to get kicked out of here in a month. We don't know where to go. We need to buy a building, and there's no buildings around. Danny, you need to do something. It's funny, I had to do something. And I said, but God hasn't showed me anything. Well, we're going to be out of here in a month. What? I said, oh. And then as I'm driving home after this eldership meeting, I felt the Holy Spirit said, when I told you I've given you that building, I didn't say to rent. And I go, oh, wow. And so I went back and said to the guys, I found our building. They go, you found a building the next day? I said, yeah, I found a building. They said, where? I said, this one. They go, how? And a story began that was so miraculous that the owners of the Ranella Markets gave us the building for the first year for free. They gave us $80,000 towards renovations. And we bought it at an agreed price years earlier if we were going to buy it. We didn't think we were. And we ended up getting even cheaper than that when we got it. Miracle after miracle after miracle. The guy that didn't want to sell it, his name was Thorold. What a name. And I go to see him the first time I met him. I said, are you selling this building? He goes, no. Why do you know? Why you want to sell it? Why do you ask? I said, I'm the pastor up the road. We've run out of room. We need to buy a building. He goes, you don't go to that church, that happy, clappy church. You know, I go, well, I come from there. He goes, oh, no. But he didn't use the word no. He said, my two sisters go to that church and they've been praying for me for 25 years. And I don't believe in God. 1 week later, he rings me up. He goes, what's your God doing to me? I go, what do you mean? He said, I haven't been able to sleep all week. I know this building belongs to you. He goes, but there are 8 shareholders, and they were Greeks and Italians, and you try to do business with them. Greeks and Italians. They're not going to want to sell. Well, he went and spoke to them, and they all said, I think we should sell it to them. He never ever saw all the work we did because he retired after we sold the property. He was living in a house where the Apollo Stadium used to be. They built some houses there. And at the age of about 87, he rang me up I was in Sydney, and he goes, I want to come and have a look at my church. Never been there, had never come to visit. And I was away, so I got some of the staff to meet him at the church, and he came in and burst into tears and saw what had happened. And he said, wow, I had no idea I was going to be part of this miracle. 2 weeks later, he passed away. I want to tell you, friends, after Jesus finishes speaking, the rest is history if we're willing to obey. So the pattern of change is waiting for Jesus to finish speaking. The purpose of change, number two, is that people can find God, that people can find their purpose, and that people can reach their potential. The purpose of change is not to compete with other churches in the city. The purpose of change is not to be just cool and trendy. The purpose of change is that Adelaide is lost. There's a broken world out there. And I'm finding people are more and more ready to hear the good news than ever before. If there was ever a time to reach broken people, it is now. But our purpose for doing all we do, our purpose for doing cafes, I believe there's going to be churches all over, and I'm not telling you to do this, that are going to open up their churches during the week and have cafes and have the lost come in and connect with the community of God. Because the world out there is offering nothing. The world is going, it's changing fast, but in the wrong direction. The purpose of change, you know, this story was not about fishing. It wasn't a fishing lesson. Three stories, and go and read it. I haven't got time now, but go and read it in this chapter. There's a man who has leprosy. Immediately after this catch of fish, and Jesus says, you are now going to be fishers of men, he heals a man with leprosy. Leprosy stands for sin. We live in a world full of leprosy right now. The world is full of leprosy, where there is a sin that's destroying people's lives, and people don't feel wanted anymore, and people don't even feel like they belong, and the suicide rate is getting higher and higher because of the leprosy of brokenness and sin. And Jesus heals a man with leprosy. Then he heals a man who is crippled. Three stories straight after the catching of fish. And he heals a man with, he's crippled. And I remember reading it years ago and says, Danny, I want you to build a church that helps those that have no direction in life. Those that can't walk through life with clarity. Those that have no direction. May God be their purpose. Do you know, it's a funny thing. This is an interesting story, but when I moved down south, there was such a poverty mentality in that part of Adelaide that they would say to me, don't you come and bring your message here because it's not going to work. This is not the north and the northeastern suburbs. I said, we're just bringing the gospel. We're just bringing the gospel. There was such a poverty mentality. Now, again, this is just a testimony, but there were so many young couples in our church that never thought they could ever buy a house. They just thought, we're just going to rent for the rest of our lives. And, you know, we began to believe that God would give these people direction in their careers and provision. And we bought a home, and shortly after that shared the story of the miracle of how that happened with us. And young people began to build and buy homes all over the place. And over a 2 or 3 year period, there was a Redeemer lift. And everything lifted because God brought fresh direction. And 2 years after that, the Christmas tree at Norlunga Shopping Centre was voted the most generous Christmas tree in Australia with the Giving Tree at Christmas. A place that had been so poor, the local mayor contacted me and said, do you realise your church has lifted the whole image of our community? Hardy Wines had a brochure on all the places you can go to around to see that part of Adelaide. And without asking us, they put our church in their brochure. I said, if you want to go and see a contemporary church and what church has done like today, go and have a look at this church that does everything with excellence. See, why do we do things with excellence? To show off? No, to reach a broken community, to reach the lepers, to reach those that have no direction. And then there's a story of a man called Levi who was a tax collector. Now, I'm going to prophesy something right now. He was a tax collector. He was ripping people off. And God is about to do a miracle in this city with wealthy people coming to Christ because their wealth is not making them happy. Their possessions is not making them happy. And their purpose is unclear. And they're going to end up being saved and fueling parts of what God wants to do in His kingdom. Come on, give God praise. The pattern of change is wait for Jesus to finish speaking. The purpose of change is to help our broken world. We're fishers of men, not fishers of fish. And number three, who are the people that activate change? How can we be change agents? How can we be change activators? Number one, and this is all out of the story. Number one, we got to accept God's sovereignty. This is under point three. Say A. A under point three is we need to understand God's sovereignty. I wouldn't have chosen me. I'm a wog from Paynham. And if that offends you, it just means warrior of God. I'm the wog from Paynham. Menswear salesman, hardly did anything. I would not have chosen me. Why Peter's boat? Why doesn't God choose the other boat for a change? Can you imagine if the other boat goes, stick this? It's always Peter. Peter stuffs up, but his boat gets filled. Comparisons in the kingdom of God need to stop because God chooses who He wants. And sometimes we don't get our head around that. But let me tell you, Jesus chose Peter's boat because God is sovereign in who He chooses. But B, He chooses people who are faithful doers in their everyday. He doesn't choose people that are sitting around saying, pick me. These guys were washing their nets after they caught no fish. That's good discipline. You know, reading your Bible when you don't get a result. Just doing it because you love God. Cleaning the nets, doing what is disciplined to do. Gee, I find it hard to pray sometimes. I get out of bed and I just want to go back. I sit in a chair and I'm praying and then fall asleep and then wake up again. But you push through, you push through, you push through. Why? Because I want results. No, I just want to obey God and I want to stay close to Him so that after He finishes speaking, I'm close enough to hear what He wants me to do. And so these guys were cleaning their nets when there was no catch of fish because He chooses people who are faithful doers in their everyday. C, those who don't allow disappointment to stop them launching again. Oh my goodness. Peter was disappointed. Jesus, now you're telling, you do your job, but don't tell us how to do our job. We've been fishing. We're just disappointed. We didn't catch. No, no. We still got to make our disappointments His appointments. And whenever change comes, people get all twisted up. Why is that happening? Is he young enough to understand my pain? Why did that happen? Why is this happening? And we can get disappointed. It's not happening here, I'm sure. I can tell the spirit in the place is beautiful. But we're human beings at disappointment. I handed a church over, absolutely heard from God. Absolutely knew who to hand it over to. The entire nation agreed with that decision. There was amen, amen, amen. And a year ago, it hit the wall. I wish I could tell you exactly why. I got my reasons, but all I know is post what happened in my world, the promises of God that He had given, like I told you earlier, are all coming to pass in multiplication. It's unbelievable. And I'm sitting here 6 months after I left you, at first thinking, I didn't ask for this. I didn't sign up for this. And I think Sharon and I need to go to Italy, and this time I'm not going to leave her there. I'm going to stay there with her. And then all of a sudden, you know, He's the God of suddenly. You got to believe for God suddenly if you do your everyday well. You know, Moses is in the back end of the desert just doing his every day. He wasn't looking after sheep going, when is my ministry going to open up? He's just looking after sheep. He goes, if this is all I've got to do for the rest of my life, I'll keep loving God. I'll keep honoring my father-in-law at least. He wasn't planning a burning bush experience. But as he's doing his every day, there comes a one day. And then a suddenly, can we just bow our heads in prayer right now? There are people all across this room and you've actually said, God, when? God, why? How? And God's saying to you this morning, please hear my heart. Your one day is coming and so is your suddenly, but you've got to trust me in the I don't know. You've got to trust me in the season. And it's been really hard. You've actually shed tears. And if that's you, I'd like you to slip up your hand wherever you are. I want to pray for you right now. Thank you. So many hands, so many hands, so many hands. Father, thank you today that this is such a word of encouragement for your family here. That, Lord, they can trust you. They can let go of the steering wheel because you will park this where it needs to be parked. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. See, the purpose of change is for people's lives to be transformed. But the people that activate change also take risks. They took the risk, but if you say so, Jesus, we'll take this risk and we'll have another go. Because they had a predisposition towards obedience. I hope this doesn't sound self-serving today, but I do want to say this. Why don't we settle the issue of saying yes before we know what he's going to ask us to do? Years and years ago, Sharon and I had to say yes. It was hard. Just finished renovating our house at Modbury North. There was just a bit more to do. And we joked. We said, wouldn't it be funny if God calls us out of here before we finish renovating the house? Exactly what happened. And as an Italian, to sell a house and then not be able to buy another one and rent, I mean, that's a sin to rent if you're Italian. To go into Happy Valley and stay in a house that creaked all night and made all funny noises, and I thought, why did we end up here? How did this happen? But I remember the day, all the time, when we said yes. It's still the same yes. At 68, after losing a son, after seeing another one break down, after going through cancer, and I'm not saying that to be self-serving today, because each one of those times, the temptation to say enough was there. Enough. No more. I say it a lot when I'm here, and I'm going to say it now. I won't apologize because it means so much to me. Greg Downton had to go out of it. So hard to get to church today. But just had to be here. Gene and Greg, thank you for your yes. In the midst of we don't know, in the midst of why, there's still a yes. And if you can settle yes in your heart to God, he will finish speaking. And you will be able to follow. See, God's got a purpose for this house. It was birthed by God. If we embrace change with divine connection and divine culture, the future will be bright. It will be built. And part of the next season for this house is to be a blessing to the wider body of Christ. God is going to do something that is beyond the four walls of this church, but he's doing it with all of us so that we can go beyond just what we need. You know, I was walking on the beach at Noarlunga, pretty scared. What are we going to do? We're about to take out a big mortgage. Sharon and I had to put our house on the line. We did finally buy one, and then we had to put it on the line so that if the church didn't succeed, they could sell our house and seven other people's houses to pay off the mortgage. I'm grateful for a wife that didn't argue and said, well, we started with nothing. We can at least see some change in people's lives and end up with nothing, that's okay. And I'm walking on the beach, and this is the word that came into my head. The risks that you take that flow from revelation, I will always reward with results. After Jesus finished speaking, the risks that you take that flow from revelation, I will always reward with results. And then I got this one. The pureness of your motive will determine the clearness of your vision. The pureness of your motive will determine the clearness of your vision. Friends, our motive should never change. Our message should never change. Our mission should never change, but our methods do. Please, let's not get tangled up, and I'm not saying this in any way because I think it's here, but let's not get tangled up in the things that are allowed to change. Methods change, but the mission doesn't.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you're encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Adelaide campus. If you'd like to know more about Life, then visit our website at lifeadelaide.org or download the Life Adelaide app and stay connected.